Today from the Wings Archive.
We are now at the stage where we had hope to be 24 hours ago.
It was Saturday night in the UN General Assembly Hall. The President of the General Assembly, Theo Ben-Gurirab, was bringing the negotiations to a close on Beijing Plus Five.
Hours of round-the-clock negotiations finally paid off, and we have just adopted a document to move the global agenda for the advancement of women beyond 1995.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world. Produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Wings producer Frieda Worden was at the Beijing Plus Five conference in New York in June 2000. I'm Nafisa Hoodboy. I asked her, why was it so difficult for the UN to come up with an outcomes document?
The chief issues of contention were globalization and allocation of resources. But sexual rights, which had been adopted at the European Preparatory Conference, was very hotly contested. The fact is that the original Beijing Platform for Action was a consensus document on which there was not full consensus. When it was adopted, most countries announced a list of objections about parts of the platform with which they did not really agree. Those same objections were brought to bear on this document, which was a review of what kinds of progress had been made for women since 1995. Of course, one area of contention was abortion.
The United States, under the Clinton administration, came out strongly for continued support of abortion.
The United States fully supports the call in the Platform for Action for Governments to recognize and address the health impact of unsafe abortions. We regret that little progress has been made. Since Beijing, nearly 400,000 women have died unnecessarily from unsafe abortion. Even where abortion is legal, under certain circumstances, too many countries have not yet trained and equipped healthcare providers, nor have they taken other measures to ensure that abortions are safe and accessible, or to safeguard women's health.
Nicaragua was speaking for the Catholic community, mainly in the developing world, when it opposed abortion.
Nicaragua acknowledges the right to life from the moment of conception until its natural end, which is why provoked abortion or pregnancy interruption cannot be conceived of as a method of family planning or fertility regulation. As specified in the Cairo conference, any legislation governing this issue is the sovereign business of the Nicaraguan nation.
The right wing, which had been lobbying for their agenda, starting with the PrepCom in March, was recorded in this radio program.
We are talking about the Beijing Plus Five conference, a follow-up to the Beijing conference. Lots of radical feminist ideas being implemented. Again, our guests, Kathy Adams from Texas Eagle Forum, Janice Shaw Krause, the Beverly LaHaye Institute.
One of the things that was very disturbing to me is that this PrepCom was only supposed to evaluate how the Platform for Action from Beijing in 1995 has been implemented.
Janice Shaw Krause.
But what they really tried to do was to change the language in things like reproductive rights, so that if they could get that language in there, then they can identify reproductive rights along with universal human rights and say that every woman on earth has the right to control her reproduction.
A sociologist, Jacqueline Skiles, from a non-governmental organization, had also been lobbying at the PrepCom in March. She told Wings how difficult it had been for delegates to arrive at the outcomes document.
It almost seems like a miracle that they finally did agree on a document today. Starting back in March with the preparatory committee for this meeting, it was even more intense and crazy then. Women from non-governmental organizations were caucusing on issues with the delegates who already had a draft document. And we would run around and state our points of view and tug on coattails to try to get them represented in the drafting of the proposed outcome document for this meeting.
I asked Frieda what she saw as the most divisive issue in the entire conference between the North and South.
The issue that caused the most difficulty in negotiations was sexual rights. There's one paragraph in the Beijing platform, paragraph 96, that says women have the right to control their own sexuality. The fundamentalists, both Christian and Islamic, were absolutely livid about this, and they really tried to roll back that language through statements in this outcome document. I was at a workshop on sexual rights, and this is what a delegate told me.
There was a sentence that said in some countries laws have been implemented to address discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. And the country statement that remains in my mind the most was the country that said, first of all, we don't think this is an achievement. Secondly, we don't understand what this has to do with women's human rights. And third, we don't see that this has anything to do with the platform for action. And I think that that kind of sums up the whole variety of reviling statements that were made.
Nicaragua was one of the G77 nations which was vocal against sexual rights, including sexual orientation.
Nicaragua does not recognize the terms sexual rights nor sexual orientation, the definition of which we do not know and has not been established at international fora or conferences.
The European Union clearly supported sexual rights.
Mr. President, I should like to make a statement on behalf of the European Union and also of Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Lithuania, Romania, and Turkey. The European Union is committed by Article 13 of the Amsterdam Treaty to combat discrimination on the basis of sex, race or ethnic origin, religion or belief, disability, age or sexual orientation. Though the document just approved contains a number of crucial issues for gender equality, we were disappointed that the document contains no explicit reference to the sexual rights of women. We hope that sexual rights will very soon become standard terminology in the United Nations. And we also regret that it wasn't possible to utilize in this final outcome document the language agreed last year at the special session on Kairong Plus 5 with regard to abortion issues.
Discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation is a violation of human rights. This principle is established in Canadian law.
Canada lobbied strongly in favor of introducing sexual orientation as part of the language in the outcomes document at Beijing Plus 5.
We would note that we have made no gains from Beijing on the inherent right of the person to make decisions about her sexual and reproductive life. Paragraph 2 bis recognizes the discrimination that women may experience and underlines the responsibilities of government and the international community to take the necessary steps to prevent and or remedy such discrimination. However, we note that the paragraph makes no specific reference to sexual orientation. Canada considers that the matter of sexual orientation is encompassed in the reference to other status in paragraph 2 bis.
The right wing was aghast at the Western world's support for women's sexual rights.
Who is pushing this? Mark had mentioned that the United States and Canada, the EU, and those three I had known before were pushing this radical agenda, but Australia and New Zealand, did you find that at this PrepCom?
Yes, but there were people working with them and they were vacillating somewhat.
New Zealand is one of a growing number of countries to prohibit, through legal measures, discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation.
The New Zealand delegate at Beijing Plus 5.
While this meeting has discussed sexual orientation and not included it in the document, New Zealand interprets other status in the introduction to the final outcome statement at 2 bis as consistent with its Human Rights Act 1993 to include marital status, ethical belief, colour, national origin, political opinion, employment status, and sexual orientation. New Zealand looks to the sexual orientation becoming consistent with the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights by the time we meet again to review at Beijing Plus 10.
The Holy See frowned on what it saw as the attempts of some delegations to sneak in new language on women's sexuality.
My delegation is gravely concerned with the persistent attempts by some delegations to introduce new and undefined terms including sexual rights and sexual orientation, which can be interpreted to include pedophilia, among other things. These attempts demonstrated a blatant disregard of the General Assembly resolution and consistently obstructed and delayed the entire review process.
The right-wing women from non-governmental organizations in the US and Canada had turned out in full force to put pressure on the Beijing negotiations for the outcomes document.
We all wore buttons that were red in the background and said motherhood, the one simple word. And you would think that that would be something that was very innocuous and non-offensive, that people would say, oh, how nice. But it really made the hardcore left wing angry. They did not like the fact that we were introducing that word as something desirable and admirable and something that we applauded.
Goodness.
It was amazing to see the reactions and how angry they became.
I just want to say that I wish the people over at the UN who have been wearing those buttons that say motherhood could hear your story.
This was at a forum supporting sexual rights at Beijing Plus Five.
Because you know so much more about motherhood than me, and I really want to.
I'm an Iranian, and the mere reason of me being in this country is my daughter, because I took her out to save her life. And the reason for her persecution would be her sexual orientation. And she was a few times arrested because of the way she walked in the street, a child of 15 or 16 years old.
I think what you're saying affirms what we said in the beginning, which is that the issue of sexualities is not only an issue of lesbianism or sexual orientation, it's an issue of how our sexualities are shaped by society and the fear, particularly of women, taking any kind of affirmation and self-direction. So I think your point is really helpful.
The type of harassment described by the Iranian woman was put in perspective after Iran's delegate made reservations to outlaw discrimination in sexual rights.
I would like to dissociate my delegation from any provision in the text, particularly paragraph 8 and 107G tier, that may encourage explicitly or otherwise sexual relations outside the framework of marriage and the family as defined exclusively as the legitimate union between men and women. The Islamic Republic of Iran upholds the principle that safe and responsible sexual relationship between men and women can only be legitimized within the framework of marriage.
The entire Arab bloc had been making the same reservations to the outcomes document, quoting religion, tradition, customs, and constitution. This is what Iraq said.
Mr. President, my delegation demonstrated maximum flexibility in order to reach a balanced and an agreed upon document. However, we have reservations on what may be interpreted in same document, meaning any provisions that may run counter with the Islamic Sharia and its provisions, as well as the tenets of the Islamic religion and the Arab values and traditions.
Frida, my impression is that the Islamic bloc was pretty united in its opposition to women's sexual rights. But you mentioned that there was a lot of division on this issue among the G77.
Yes, the G77, the bloc of the world's poorest countries, were all supposed to be arriving at a common position for negotiating purposes. Those with an Islamic or Catholic ideology tended to oppose sexual rights. However, South Africa in particular was very strongly in favor of sexual rights, and they have a major influence in the G77.
The South African delegation came with a mandate and vision to take Beijing 95 into the new millennium. All human rights of all citizens in South Africa are protected and promoted by a constitution and bill of rights. Our constitution informed our approach to this process on the basis of choice to issues such as sexual orientation, reproductive rights, and abortion. Mr. President, we note those areas of regression on the Beijing language.
You are listening to Wings coverage of the 5-year review of the United Nations Beijing Platform for Action, adopted in 1995 to promote women's rights. By the year 2000, conflict over some issues had surged.
South Africa sided with the third world countries grouped as G77 to criticize the effect of globalization and the external debt on women.
We commend this body for having grappled with new challenges such as globalization in a manner that assists member states to address the negative impact of globalization.
The Beijing Plus Five Outcomes document reached consensus that women worldwide had grown poorer since the last conference in 1995 and linked this directly to globalization and the increasing external debt. This is what Suriname said on behalf of the Caribbean states.
Mr. President, the delegations of the member states of the Caribbean community, 14 of which are members of the United Nations, have gathered here in New York, some at tremendous expense and as a demonstration of our commitment to support and advance the Beijing Platform for Action. While a tremendous amount of follow-up activities has occurred within our sub-region, many new challenges have presented obstacles to achieving all of the goals that we set for ourselves in 1995. For our country's structural adjustment programs, globalization and high external debt have been tremendous constraints in implementing the platform for action. The loss of preferential arrangements, debt servicing, and limited capacity to overcome the burden of unemployment have had enormous consequences and have increased the number of poor women in many of our countries.
The United States disassociates itself from the paragraphs in the outcome document currently numbered 29, 30-te, and 125-c, dealing with globalization and economic issues.
The U.S. spokesperson at Beijing Plus Five.
These paragraphs characterize globalization and debt as significant obstacles to achieving gender equality. It is our view that national governments bear the primary responsibility for social and economic development and for ensuring equality for women in all walks of life. Most aspects of equality for women have no direct link to international economic and financial issues.
Nigeria spoke on behalf of the G77 and China when it appealed to the developed countries to promote gender equality by increasing assistance programs for women and children.
Mr. President, the statements by the leaders of respective delegations of member states of the G77 at the plenary send our one clear and loud message, and this is that for the countries of the developing nations, the issue of political will and commitments to goal of gender equality is beyond doubt. It is now left for the international community, the developed countries and the multilateral financial institutions to demonstrate their commitment to genuine cooperation with the developing countries in the areas of advancement of women. In this connection, I'm renewing the call on developed countries to support in concrete terms through financial resources the efforts of developing countries in the implementation of policies for sustained economic growth and development.
The United States reiterates that, with respect to all references to foreign assistance and official development assistance, it is not one of the countries that have accepted an agreed target for such assistance or have made commitments to fulfill any targets.
The U.S. also disassociated itself from the paragraph calling for disarmament.
The record should also show that the United States disassociates itself from paragraph currently numbered 133M-bis, which concerns disarmament. The United States has two concerns with this paragraph. First, the United States disagrees with the paragraph's assertion that the United Nations establishes priorities for disarmament. We believe that establishing priorities for disarmament is the prerogative of member states of the United Nations. Second, the paragraph proposes that resources made available as a result of disarmament activities be allocated to social programs which benefit women and girls. While the United States strongly supports economic and social development programs, especially those that promote gender equality, the United States also has a long-standing position of not linking the two distinct issues of disarmament and the predetermined use of resources realized, if any, from disarmament.
Cuba came out strongly in favor of the G77 countries in its position against the United States.
The delegation of Cuba supports the points made by the distinguished delegation of Nigeria, who represented the G77 and China. Mr. President, we should like to place on record that in the negotiating process that led to the document we are today adopting, there were very difficult and trying circumstances, certain irregularities cropping up in the process. My delegation should like to have this statement become part of the final record of this session.
Sociologist Jacqueline Skiles told Wings that she had found that geopolitical blocs used fora like the Beijing Plus Five conferences to fight other political and economic battles.
We always have those who just hate the United States generally and will oppose anything the U.S. stands for or is in favor of. Then you have the feeling of domination of the South now in the world, the poor countries, by the northern countries. They feel like our countries aren't willing to give their women a chance by being more generous through our corporations and the Bretton Woods economic institutions that we have dominated in terms of debt forgiveness. So there's that kind of larger economic battle being fought.
The right-wing women tried to mobilize support for their agenda by accusing the United Nations of using the Beijing Platform for Action to impose sanctions against developing countries.
Come and join our conversation, 1-800-351-1212. Are you concerned about the feminist agenda? Are you concerned about access to abortion being pushed on people all over the world, including nations whose religion actually stands against abortion? Are you concerned about the definition of violence against women being stretched out to a woman not being able to fulfill her artistic needs and desires? Are you concerned about the definition of the family changing to any group living together? All these things are on the table today. Again, our number is 1-800-351-1212. And Janice, when we talk about reproductive rights, we're talking about something that, first of all, isn't really a right because it's giving young girls, as you mentioned, and people the idea that they have the right to have any kind of sexual activity that they want and then do away with the product of that, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And part of their emphasis on reproductive rights is if they can get this into the documents as language, then they can start promoting it as something that is binding on countries. I don't know if your listeners are aware that there are many developing countries that are very dependent on funds from the UN for clean water, for supplies for their clinics, for roads, for construction of buildings, and community development. All of those things are helped with UN funds. And unless they cooperate with the policies of the UN, they are subtly kept away from these development projects.
The U.S. delegate made it clear that the Beijing Platform for Action was not legally binding on member states.
The United States understands that, as with the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, any commitments referred to in the outcome document for further actions and initiatives to implement the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action attributed to states are, unless such states indicate to the contrary, not legally binding, and they consist of recommendations concerning how states can and should promote the objectives of the conference.
This is even an American issue. Our president has signed into law the Violence Against Women Act. And so we have a federal government that has picked this up either from the UN or the UN from our federal government. And it's creating a travesty in our own laws in this country and pitting men against women instead of us working together in our homes as we have traditionally. Janice, there's an illustration, of course, of how the Beijing ideas, the things that are pushed, especially by the Western countries, move down through the system into the laws of sovereign nations, isn't it?
Frida, I'm surprised to hear U.S. women criticize the Violence Against Women Act. Was this typical of the right-wing lobbyists at Beijing Plus Five?
Yes. I heard a speaker from the Concerned Women for America's think tank saying that although violence against women is terrible, the solution is to strengthen religion and the family. Another woman who was wearing Islamic dress told me that it was wrong for the Beijing platform to condemn marital rape, because that only encouraged women to rebel against their husbands. She also said that such problems should be handled by religious leaders. Both Christian and Islamic fundamentalists strongly supported the Catholic Holy See, whose quasi-state-like membership in the UN has been challenged by feminists. But, curiously enough, the church did not support the fundamentalist position on violence.
Mr. President, the Holy See takes note of the progress that has been made in these past few months in the preparatory process for the special session, and cannot but praise the efforts of the international community to advance the condition of women in the world. In this regard, the delegation is pleased with many of the document's provisions, in particular, those condemning all forms of violence against women, those upholding women's rights to economic and political empowerment, and those which outline measures to eliminate poverty and to provide all women with access to basic social services.
You were listening to the delegates to the UN's 23rd special session of the General Assembly on Beijing Plus Five and to NGO delegates representing right and left. The conference was addressed by 178 member states and had input of over 5,000 NGOs. The outcomes document did not allow for any new language on sexual orientation, and there were continuing reservations made on women's sexual rights. On the other hand, despite the opposition from the United States, there was a paragraph criticizing the impact of globalization and the external debt on women and calling for disarmament.
We can all congratulate ourselves for a job well done.
This is how the President of the General Assembly summed up the Beijing Plus Five conference.
There was no backward movement on any of the Beijing language and commitments. Indeed, the text we have just adopted updates the Beijing platform, further strengthening the document in the areas of violence against women, trafficking in women, health, including the right to sexual and reproductive health, education, human rights, poverty, debt relief and globalization, armed conflict, sovereignty, land and inheritance rights for women, political participation and decision-making. If governments demonstrate the necessary political will and allocate the human and financial resources required, I am convinced that the goals of gender equality, development and peace will become a reality very early in the 21st century.
This program was made with assistance from the United Nations Audio Archives, Lisa Rudman, Women's Desk Coordinator of the National Radio Project, Mary O'Grady, and Frieda Worden. I'm Nafisa Hoodboy for Wings.
For more about Wings, check our website, www.wings.org. Wings thanks our supporters, including Genevieve Vaughan, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.